This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founder and president of the Ruth Institute, and she's also a well-known and well-respected author and voice on family and marriage issues. We want to get her thoughts today as more concern grows over the apparent intent of the Obama administration to try and repeal the Defense of Marriage Act, which has been on the books for more than a decade. And Dr. Morse, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, remind our listeners exactly what the Defense of Marriage Act is and what would happen, in your opinion, if this were to be repealed.
Okay, the Defense of Marriage Act is sometimes known by its acronym, which is DOMA. And there are two things that it does. One of the things it does is it says that, as a matter of federal policy, states that have marriage amendments saying that marriage is only between a man and a woman, those states are allowed to have that on the books, and that if somebody shows up at their state from Connecticut or Massachusetts and says, we've got a same-sex marriage, you have to honor it, it's up to each state whether they honor it or not. And that's what the DOMA guarantees, is that each state will be able to make its own marriage policy. So that's the first thing that it does. The second thing that the Defense of Marriage Act does is it says that for the purposes of any federal law, marriage means only a marriage between a man and a woman. So whenever you see the word spouse in federal law, that means a opposite-sex couple and only an opposite-sex couple. So those are the two main things that that the DOMA does. And so if you repeal the DOMA, those two things could change, and they could change in a little bit different ways. In other words, the states would be a little bit more inhibited in their ability to say, here's our state boundary and here's what we want our laws to be regarding marriage. It would be easier for an out-of-state couple to come in and say, we want you to recognize our marriage. So that's the first thing it does, is that it inhibits the abilities of the states to have their own marriage law. And when you consider the fact that 30 states across the United States have passed voter-approved constitutional amendments or constitutional definitions of marriage, that 30 different states have defined that for themselves, it's really quite considerable. The people of the states have made a decision of what they want, and that this is the federal government removing its protection from the states' ability to do that. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that if you repeal the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, the way is open for the federal government to say that all of the federal benefits associated with marriage could now be given to same-sex couples or to indeed any kind of relationship that the federal government might choose to recognize in the future. Okay, and so that means that Social Security benefits could be open to a same-sex partner. Federal retirement benefits could be open to a same-sex partner. And those are probably the two biggest single things where it would end up costing the taxpayers money. But the symbolic value of it, of course, would be simply enormous and impossible to calculate in advance.
We're talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founder and president of the Ruth Institute. And Dr. Morse, talk about the implications. Obviously, we would see legal fights all over the country about the definition of marriage in various states if this were to be repealed. I know you live in California, where there's obviously been a huge fight over the definition of marriage in recent months. What would be the impact on our educational system?
Well, the educational system, it's harder to say because, of course, that's something that's done on a state-by-state basis, unless the federal government decided that it wanted to, you know, try to have some federal control over curriculum, which, you know, that would be a much bigger kind of a fight than anything they've thought of so far. But, in fact, in the marriage situation in California and the debate over Proposition 8, the education issue was one of the big issues that people were very concerned about. Because the way it appeared in California is that the state would then say, well, okay, if marriage includes any two persons, opposite-sex couple, same-sex couple, that means that whenever the subject of marriage comes up in the school curriculum, it would have to be taught in that gender-neutral way. And when people started thinking about that, they started to become really quite alarmed when they thought about the possibilities. And as it happened, during the actual course of the campaign, people from other states may not be aware of this, but the same-sex lobby, so to speak, gave a great gift to the Prop 8 campaign because there were several incidents that were really quite egregious, overstepping of boundaries of good taste and common sense as far as schooling was concerned. And when people saw these, I mean, one of the most celebrated cases was a first grade class went down to City Hall in San Francisco for a field trip to see their teacher get married in a same-sex wedding. And, you know, not only did they do that, but the parents who put that on, who made that happen, called a press conference about it because they thought this would be a wonderful, tolerant display of how wonderful everybody is in San Francisco. Well, when the rest of the state saw that, they thought, oh, my goodness, you know, kindergartners, first graders, going to see a same-sex wedding, you know, that I don't want that for my kids, you know. And so the people in San Francisco couldn't quite understand why the rest of the state thought that was a bad deal, you know, why they thought that was not a good thing. But there were a number of incidents like that that were really basically a gift to the campaign, advocates of same-sex marriage more or less stepped over the line and had no clue that they had stepped over a line. And that by itself was, I think, quite an eye-opener to most of the public in California.
The last 30 seconds here, Dr. Morse. President Obama says he's not in favor of gay marriage, but he does basically want same-sex couples to have all the same rights and benefits as married couples. So in the end, what's the difference?
Well, there are several things that are different, but the main one is that if he's saying he wants civil unions rather than same-sex marriage, and I think that is what he's saying, I think he wants federal civil unions. What we know from California is that however reasonable that might seem as a compromise, it is not a compromise because the same-sex lobby will not accept that as a compromise. One side sees it as a compromise. The other side sees it simply as a stepping stone to the next step, which is full-fledged same-sex marriage. That's what we had in California. They had civil unions, domestic partnerships with very generous benefits, and even with that in place, they brought the lawsuits forward to say, that's not good enough, we demand same-sex marriage. So what we learned in California is that there's no point compromising with these people because they don't see it as really a compromise.
And so we'll see where the debate heads from here and whether there's any support in Congress to actually repeal the Defense of Marriage Act. Dr. Morse, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She's also a very highly respected voice on family and marriage issues. This is Dateline Washington.